What's up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Born and raised here, traveling the state, bringing you the very best of this amazing time of year and the season and the state we live in. Alongside me, can't shake her, can't get rid of her, can't shake it like a leaf off a tree in the fall time. Danielle Fairman,
hello.
The hostess with the mostest, travels this great state quite a bit and does a lot of hunting and fishing. What's going on?
Hi.
How are you?
I have been traveling the state a lot this weekend.
You said that. Why are you traveling the state a lot? For your job? Or
no, we went down to eight-hour days. I'm back to working 40-hour weeks.
And that's...
I haven't done that since high school.
that's less or more?
That's way less.
Oh.
And it's just... It's weird, but now I have time. So I've been filling my time with traveling and taking the boat out to new places, helping people with
hunting,
their stands and hunting.
Fishing, living
mostly
every
hunting,
day.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That sounds absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And you always have got like several Raised in Wisco or weekly Wiscos. I will say, though, that one of yours is usually something that's broken down or some pit of despair that you have fallen
in. I'm rough on things. It happens.
You are rough on things. And, folks, we've got the culinary creator, the master chef, Ellie Lawton, on the show, who brings us recipes from field to table every week, which is one of the most awesome things about the great outdoors of Wisconsin, is taking field and forage and putting it on the table a way that you can enjoy it, which is an important part of the show because we talk very much about the ethics of killing things and eating them and making sure you're using them to the best of your ability. And Ellie Lawton is here. Ellie, what's going on?
Welcome back. We missed you.
Welcome back.
Well, that is, welcome back.
I've been traveling this country and eating all the food.
Well, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. And of course, we would be remiss. We wouldn't be the big show we are. We would not be the grandiose show we are, Raised in Wisco, throughout Wisconsin and Michigan and Minnesota now on 25 civic media stations, if we did not have our own sommelier. And her lover.
Hi.
Megan is here with Dave.
Well, wait a second. She was a salad bar first, okay?
Megan the salad bar.
And I became a pirate.
The salad bar sommelier pirate.
Yes, Megan the salad bar Salazar.
And then there's Megan's lover.
And now Megan's lover. I'm not even sure he needs a name on the show.
Sorry,
Megan's
Dave.
He's just Megan's lover.
He's on the screen as Megan's lover, so.
Is he really?
Yep.
Jacob said that is who he is. Megan's lover right there.
That is beyond awesome. I can't even with that. And it's okay. Well, but folks.
I love it.
If you don't know him, Megan's lover's actual name, and I'm only going to say it once, is Steve Copenhagen.
Megan's like, I didn't know about that one.
I didn't know.
Did I have the wrong name this whole time?
This whole time.
No, Megan's, Dave is here, Dave Sella, a master at the whitetail hunting, and that brings us to the pinnacle of the show, the pièce de résistance of the season, of the rut. We're in the thick of the rut right now. And for folks who don't know what the rut is, it's the breeding season for an animal. And the white-tailed deer, which is a mecca in Wisconsin, it's literally a religion hunting white-tailed deer. And there's nobody I know who does it better, more efficiently, and more effectively than Paul House. We've had him on the show before, and we brought him back for the rut. Paul, is it hot and heavy right now out there?
It sure is, and thank you for having me. And I do want to say, you know, thanks to all the veterans out there before we get going, because without them, we wouldn't be able to enjoy the great outdoors in Wisconsin.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Paul. What a great point. This past week was Veterans Day, and we sure owe a debt of gratitude to anyone who signed their name on that dotted line, willing to give their life so we could wake up and enjoy the freedoms we deserve and sit in the tree stands and everything else like that.
So, amen.
Yes.
And, of course, we've got Jacob in the studio, and Noah Morris of Morris Original here with us in the fishbowl, and we're having an awesome time. I'm excited. I want to get to Weekly Wiscos because I want to go first. Weekly Wisco, if you're new to the show, that is something we did in the outdoors of Wisconsin this past week, and I had one of the coolest experiences I have had in a long time sitting in a tree stand And it was 20 mile an hour winds, and wind chill felt like it was about 12 degrees out, but I bundled up tight and I had the joy of hunting with my buddy, Paul House.
Oh,
and
nice.
I actually asked him to be on the show before he said, "Hey, do you want to come hunt with me?" And I had such a great time sitting up in a tree stand, and I'm a little afraid of heights. I'm not a big heights guy. So it takes me coming out of my shell a little bit to get into a tree stand, but he had it all with the safety rig and everything like that, and it felt really good.
That's
and
good.
It was really cool. Yeah,
absolutely.
I had a great time.
So those trees had to be swaying with that wind.
It wasn't bad. I don't know how he had the setup, but he really had a nice deal for me there, and I had a great time doing that. What do you got, Danielle? What's your weekly Wisco?
The first one that comes to my head is I bought a gun. My first concealed carry gun.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
wonderful.
I went out
Congrats.
To Thank you. I went out to Fletcher Arms and I shot 26 different handguns.
That is the way to do it, my dear.
So we spent the whole day it was a day date. Went to go shoot guns.
What'd you pick?
I picked a Sig Sauer P365.
That is what I'm getting.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Okay. And I'm going to say.
That's what I want for Christmas, by the way.
Oh, boy. She's telling her
Megan's
lover
giving
she
her lover her Christmas list so
hint,
everybody
hint,
knows.
Wink, wink.
Hey, Dave.
Rose edition.
Dave, copy and paste over here, man. Yeah. Same.
Oh, man. What, Paul, did you do anything in the outdoors today, this week, that was enjoyable?
Last week I did a lot. I went and helped a few of my friends recover some deer with my thermal drone.
That's exciting.
Yep.
That's really cool. That's really growing in popularity and popularity is the wrong word. That's growing in usefulness. We're starting to see technology in recovering deer. Mm-hmm. And you got to be very careful because the laws that govern that are kind of specific.
Yes.
But it really does help in making sure that something that is hit is not wasted.
I agree. And I don't charge anybody. I just bought it for my own personal use, just from when I'm guiding people. But yes, I mean, you're not bumping the deer if they don't know exactly where they shot. My rule of thumb is if you don't watch them fall over, you back out and you just wait, you know? So with the drone, I'm able to go out, fly the drone, figure out where the animal is, if it's alive, if it's not alive, and then make them choices without bumping the deer and possibly running them into somebody else's property and messing with their hunting and stuff
good.
Like that. But it's a good tool, but it also has its disadvantages if
too.
It gets in the wrong hands. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Okay, there's a lot of people out there that would just shoot those right out of the sky because they hate them so much, but they don't understand what the whole purpose of it.
Well,
behind.
There are a lot of people misusing drones as well.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I've had people use drones in a waterfowl hunting situation where they've literally used it for hunter harassment, which is against the law.
Yes, it is.
And so, you know, you do have to be very, very careful in that area. But I think in the area of a dead deer recovery, they're invaluable. Megan has her hand up.
Megan just raised her hand.
Sharing,
this isn't like a Zoom meeting.
I have a question. At what point in time does the deer lose enough body temperature that the drone is hard to find it and you're better off using a tracking dog?
Rule of thumb is 48 hours when the animal's dead. But what I will tell you is that I have found deer. In fact, I was out droning one of my farms just checking things out because I thought I had somebody that wasn't supposed to be there. And I actually found some deer laying next to a pond, which I'm assuming died from EHD. They were 3 or 4 months old at least. The sun, you know, during the day, that sun will heat up that object, right? And if you can get out there within a couple hours after the sun is set and the thermals have, you know, laid off of that, you can still find animals that are, you know, any bone, rocks, things like that. It's pretty, the technology is incredible.
That's neat. Chef Lawton, what do you got?
What do I have? Where am I?
What day is it?
Sunset. You're gone for a week and all of a sudden you don't remember the format of the
week?
Show.
I was forever. Let's see here. Outside, a really, really cold, windy, a bone-chilling goose hunt, which was fantastic. I loved every moment of it until the end when I was super crabby. And then I finished a couple huge food shows, which was awesome for me.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
It was food good. Shows are great.
Good week, good couple weeks.
Any time you put the word food in front of something,
yeah,
that sounds like a great day to me.
Yes. Wonderful.
Megan, what do you got? You got a weekly Wisco for us?
Yep. I sat for archery deer for the first time. Ever.
Woohoo.
Ever?
Wow.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, because you know, I just started shooting a bow like a month ago.
Yeah.
No, I did not know this.
Yeah. Never touched a bow in my life.
Good Megan's on a mission. Her lover's been taking
it. Yeah.
Good for you. Good job.
For deer.
How was it?
It was cold on Sunday, but we saw deer and
nice.
It was interesting.
Dave, do you have a weekly Wisco for us?
I do.
Wait, that's his name?
It was
Yes,
I do have a name. I was actually hunting another property in the morning, and I pretty much raced home so we could, Megan and I can go out deer hunting that night to take her out.
Okay.
And like she said, we saw deer. We had some get close, but nothing big enough to shoot.
Well, that's also very exciting. I want to talk about the difficulty of bow hunting a deer. Just even... I've bow hunted deer, and I admit this to people. I think that before I was born, God gave me a choice. You can either shoot great whitetail with your bow, or you can harvest awesome other stuff and never kill a buck with your vertical bow. And I must have chosen the other stuff.
Must have.
Because to this day, all my years of hunting, decades of hunting, I have never killed a deer with my vertical bow. Paul... as a person who's got several deer in the 130 to 200 class on your walls, why is hunting a whitetail with a bow so difficult?
Well, they are very smart animals. They live in the woods 24/7, and we are invading their space, and they're out there to survive. Mm-hmm. And if you are not playing every advantage to, you know, with the winds and, you know, using cover and all this stuff. And then you got to get that deer within 30 yards and that deer has to be calm. You know, they get wound up. You can tell, like, if they're chasing does, they come in, they're adrenalized. I mean, you have this, they can duck an arrow like I've never seen an animal do in my
life. Yeah, it's crazy.
0.2 seconds. When we filmed for outdoor TV all the time, and I had shot a big giant 10 pointer. He's looking the other way, and he heard that arrow coming. And within 0.2 seconds, he had dropped over a foot, and I hit him in the high in the shoulder. And it was just incredible. We put it into frame by frame. So, I mean, you have all – it's a very, very challenging sport, number one, but to get a big mature buck in front of you – is a whole nother ball game.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about that today because you have a knack for getting big bucks in front of you, which blows my mind. So we're going to talk about the rut. We're going to talk about some other awesome things in Wisconsin. And, of course, we're going to have our cooking segment with Chef Lawton coming up. And that's why we love having you along on Raised in Wisco. Don't forget to check us out Saturdays at 11 on all your civic media stations throughout the state. If you miss the show, you can catch it on the podcast after that. We're going to be right back on Raised in Wisco. Baby, when it comes to hunting, he's bad. Paul House is our guest tonight. My name's Joel Clayfish, the host of this circus called Raised in Wisco. Danielle Fairman is the co-host here. We've been rocking and rolling in the outdoors for nearly two decades. And how exciting it is that we get to bring you, our listeners, on an ever-expanding platform, the joys of the outdoors of Wisconsin and the eating of the outdoors yes. of Wisconsin, which is
my favorite.
I tell people, guys, what do I say? At the end of the day, Raised in Wisco is a
cooking show. Gosh, guys, be a little bit more excited.
Yeah, I was excited.
I didn't know the punchline.
Sorry, Paul. Paul, you got it next.
Paul, you got to listen to the shows more, okay?
I'm too busy getting the deer lined up for you.
Yeah, perfect. I'm not going to complain about that at all. Of course, we've got Chef Lawton in the studio. Who is our acclaimed award-winning chef who puts things together for us in the last part of the show to leave you with an easy, awesome recipe to take from field to table creatively in a way everybody who sits down is going to love it. Our sommelier, Megan, is here. Megan Salazar with her lover, Dave. And Paul House. We're talking about deer, and we're in the middle of the rut, and in Wisconsin, deer hunting is a religion.
Oh, it is.
And for you, 100%. It's a religion. This is a dedication like I've never seen before. And I think the adage here that 10% of the hunters kill 90% of the big bucks, I think this really applies to deer season, doesn't it?
I agree 100%, yes.
Yeah. Yep. Why? Why is that? How much effort are you actually putting in?
Well, it never stops, to be honest with you. It's a 365-day mission, right? So from, you know, springtime planting food plots, you know, we shed hunt, obviously, but planting food plots and managing, doing TSI and managing the timber to...
TSI, what is TSI?
TSI is like managing your timber, right? So we go in and we'll do selective cuts or we'll do clearings and stuff and just manage the forest to make better undergrowth, underbrush, because a deer's diet is 90% browse, right? So they're constantly browsing through the woods. You want as much fresh growth and as much health that you can get to them out of the natural forage. Food plots are just a supplement and more of a draw than anything, but once you can get that woods and those areas to produce forbs and things, that's what really produces really healthy herds. So, you know, going into the summertime, you know, we're out watching the fields and taking, you know, inventory on all of our bucks and stuff like that. And then of course the fun time of the year when you get to go mm-hmm. out and try to harvest them.
See, that is interesting to me. I think I want to know, you're on that extreme of it. I'm a deer hunter. I sit in a deer stand with my bow and with my gun every year.
Yep.
But I'm on kind of probably the other, not all the way to the other end of the spectrum as the deer hunter who heads out just for gun season, right?
Yep.
Still an avid deer hunter, and I've shot probably 30 deer does that I've eaten. I've never harvested a buck with my vertical bow, because if I'm going to harvest something to put on the wall, I'm also going to eat it.
Yep.
And I'm going to let it go and let it grow. But there is a wide gamut in between those who don't hunt at all, the rut or the breeding season or when the deer are really moving, and those who are as avid as you. Is it more luck than circumstance that people on the end of the spectrum apart from you ever kill a big deer?
I would say yes, probably. It becomes more of a luck than a skill if somebody's not putting the time and the energy. I mean, I actually honestly don't like really hunting the rut. It becomes very sporadic. The movement can be good one day. Like I said, these deer are on a mission, right? So I'd rather hunt early season on food sources, late season on food sources. The guys that are hunting the ruts are sitting in their tree, spending the time, and they're getting those deer that are running through the woods. And, you know, eventually, you know, if you put enough time in, you're going to get a crack at a nice buck. It's just the way it works.
Well, and we talked about a couple weeks ago, the big bucks, when rut comes around, that's anybody's buck, right?
Oh, yeah,
because,
100%.
I mean, you've been watching that buck all year round, and yep. then we get to the rut. I understand your point, because that could be your neighbor or four counties over. That could be your buck.
100%, yes. I mean, I tracked one last year, and he was traveling 3.5 miles. He would go from one of our farms, he'd cross four other properties and get down to another one of my farm. He'd stay there for 3 days. He'd find himself a lady, stay there for 72 hours, and boom, he'd go back to the other farm. And he kept doing this. Well, he ran himself down so hard that he dumped both of his antlers on December the 28th last year.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I have not seen him this year. We elected not to hunt him. He was a 5.5-year-old. He had made a huge jump from 4 to 5, and I was thinking, okay, he's going to make another big jump to 6, which normally will happen. And haven't seen him since. I think he ran himself down enough and didn't make it. So those are risks that you all take, right? But yes, I mean, if you're sitting in funnels and pinch points, right, areas where these bucks are narrowing down and traveling to try to get to them doe bedding areas or the field edges to check them, that's where you want to sit this time of the year. And usually if you can sit in those areas, you will definitely see deer. And you might, you know, you might have to sit all day, but because when a big buck comes off a doe, I mean, they're smart enough to know that they will breed in October. And they'll start in October, and they'll get the early does and all the way through November. And once they come off them, you better be in the tree, and hopefully you get a crack at them.
Michael Jackson's jumping in here.
See that? Jeez.
Holy cow.
Even he's excited.
He's excited about talking about it. And, of course, what we're going to cook coming up. We're going to talk about the Orange Army when we get back.
Oh,
and
how fun.
We're going to talk about the fact that in Wisconsin, I worry about, am I talking too much deer hunting? And I don't think I can.
No,
I don't think so at all.
Big of a deal. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Danielle Fairman. Ellie Lawton. Megan and the crew is here. This is Raised in Wisco. Wisconsin, this is Raised in Wisco. My name's Joel Clayfish. I get to steer this ship. Is it a ship? I'm not sure it's a ship.
It's more of like a kayak with a slow leak.
It's more like a dinghy. Well, I got the rudder in the water anyway. We're trying to steer this ship through the ins and outs of the great outdoors of the state of Wisconsin. Somebody who's on the sail on the mast is Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
Sitting alongside of me, running the joint here. And, of course, we've got Chef Ellie Lawton, who's got getting her recipe ready. Get your pens out. Does anybody take notes with pens and paper anymore?
Me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Paper is where it's
just
at.
Just wondering. All right.
They don't need to. I'm putting it on Facebook for them.
Well, there you go. Ooh, there and you that go. Reminds me.
That's true, but we should practice writing still, people.
Definitely. We're losing words. Did you know we're losing words every year
that makes
because
sense.
Of AI?
It does.
Have you
NGL,
heard of this?
Really?
Yeah, not going to lie.
Like, how many words do they make up on a regular basis now that we don't even know what they mean?
And yeah, no, that's...
Words? I can't keep up.
We're gaining ridiculous words, but we're losing words in the English language to thousands a year because now when you write something, AI goes and fix it from a bank of words. So we're losing some of the more intricate words. And as a wordsmith, someone who has a big fan of large vocabularies, I think that's kind of devastating, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Look it up. There's even the kids on the TikToks.
The TikToks.
They can look at it.
TikToks. Making the dumb dumber.
They can look up. Look this subject up.
I don't
blow
talk,
your mind.
So I don't know anything about it.
I can
hardly handle texting.
Well, I'm telling you, look it up on the old interwebs and you'll find that we're losing words, and that makes me very sad. But one thing we are doing here for sure is gaining knowledge, and we love to pass that knowledge along to you and have you along here on Raised in Wisco. Mm-hmm. We have a growing audience throughout Wisconsin on 25 stations throughout the state and now into Michigan and Minnesota on your civic media stations. You can listen to us live on Saturdays at 11 o'clock throughout the state and parts of Michigan and Minnesota. And if you miss Raised in Wisco, I please encourage you to check out our podcast. We play all episodes after they air as well. And join us on Facebook on our Raised in Wisco Facebook page. Send us your questions, concerns. We do definitely check the complaint box out once in a while.
If anyone like wants to write any fan mail to Megan's lover, Dave, that's how you do it.
That's how you do it. You get on there if you if you want to get in on the hot deer action.
Danielle, what do you say? Just slide into the DMs?
Just slide into the DMs.
And that would stand for Dave's messages.
Yeah.
Slide
in. There you go.
That's nice.
I kind of love the fact that we keep the mic away from Dave. He's the poor guy.
Just the thing is, though,
he's just a nodder.
He keeps coming back, so I think he likes it.
Well, they are.
We know he loves Megan, so.
And you feed him.
That's true.
That's true. We do eat before every show.
And he can eat. He's a good eater.
He is a great. He's the best eater I think I may have ever seen.
He's the thinnest, but eats the most.
It's very weird because he's a wiry fellow. There's no doubt about it, but he can pack it away. I don't know where he puts it. He's got a hollow leg, I'm pretty sure.
And he can't say anything because we won't give him a mic.
Yeah, it's perfect. Dave, do you want to respond? Let's give Dave a chat. Dave, do you want to respond?
Wait, cut his mic.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's probably getting. I'm pretty good right now, actually. I actually enjoy you guys cracking some jokes here and there, and you know. But I do have to tell Ellie that her food and cooking is delicious before the show.
Thanks, Dave. Eat very well. Nobody's waistlines are getting thinner here.
Put it on a winter weight. Oh, yeah. Just keep eating them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Dave had 12.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
It was only 7.
Oh, only 7.
Okay. Chefs love a good eater.
That is for sure. We've got Paul House on the show today, expert deer hunter, literally expert deer hunter. He has been in the media several years, and he has really mastered the art of deer hunting, of whitetail hunting, which is a religion in Wisconsin. And I think to myself so often, you know, should we talk so much about whitetail deer hunting on Raised in Wisco? We love the fact that people, even those who are not hunters, like to listen to the show. They like to do the cooking stuff. They like to learn about foraging, even everything from sideways banana kayaking and mountain climbing. We've done it, talked about it all, shooting carp on the show. We have no limit as to what we talk about. We talked about the author of the Jeffrey Dahmer book. We had the Samson curator on. And I mean, we're across the board. And so I don't want to pigeonhole us into deer hunting. But if you think about it, 600,000 people in Wisconsin, 600,000 people are out there in Orange.
That's so crazy.
The opening of deer hunting season, the opening day of deer hunting season now. Yeah. Maybe a few of those shouldn't be out there. They've been playing cribbage the night before.
Yeah, right.
So, with a few too many
cribbage. That's what they call
cribbage.
It. Yes, right. They play cribbage with the whiskey bottles.
Yeah, right.
Right.
I've seen that.
But when you have that many people in Wisconsin, larger than some countries' armies, hitting the woods. What does that tell you, Paul, as a purveyor of whitetail hunting, how important this actually is to the citizens of the state?
It's culture. I mean, that's what we were all raised by. That's what, you know, you get into the great outdoors and you get to see God's creation and you get to enjoy it. And it gives you some peace and get away from the riffraff and all the cell phones and all the other stuff. It's a very, very important part of our heritage. And hopefully it always will be. You know?
Yeah, like you were saying, it's a family tradition. Like, this is probably how kids get brought out into the hunting
industry.
Yes. Thank you.
For me, when the Orange Army rolls out, that is the true kickoff to the holiday season for me. I mean, that is really the start of it, and I love it. It's so fantastic. We are very, very blessed to have such a cool state.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, parents take their kids out of school for this.
Oh, 100%. That's all we look forward to.
I think there are a lot of teachers who are wishing they could be off of school, too, to get out there and do it as well. I think that something that fascinates me about the culture of Wisconsin, look, the fact of the matter is, this is a fact, Boone and Crockett is the record book for whitetails and for big game species in the United States.
Correct.
And Wisconsin still, to this day, harvests the largest whitetail deer in the world.
Yes.
I did not know in this information.
World, oh, yeah.
The state of Wisconsin harvests the largest white-tailed deer in the world. So it doesn't hurt that that is still actually the case when there is that drive to get out there. But I don't think the gun season necessarily, and you guys disagree with me if you like, I don't think it's necessarily about the size of the bucks as much as it has become a cultural phenomenon that even in other states like Iowa, Kansas, Illinois has some massive bucks, Ohio. It is not the cultural phenomenon in those states like it is here. Why is that?
Just because everybody loves to eat venison, man, and the trophy's in the eye of the beholder. And I mean, every place you go to, it's, you know, Thanksgiving, there's, you know, venison tacos all the way. I mean, everything you can ever imagine. It's such an amazing lean meat, and we have some of the best mineral deposits here in Wisconsin, which keeps our soils rich and grows really, really healthy whitetails, and a lot of them.
Yeah, no, I think that that is true. I think people don't understand that minerals in the earth are what grow antlers. Mm-hmm. And antlers shed every year and have to regrow every year. And those minerals have to be consistent in order to facilitate the growth of huge antlers. And we just really hit the lottery here. And I think a lot of it has to do, and I'm not trying to get wonky, but a lot of it goes back to the glacial periods here when the glaciers deposited so much of the minerals throughout the state.
So what I was going to say is that aside from deer hunting being deer hunting when it comes to deer camp, I mean, that's more of a camaraderie and a family get together thing than it is just about harvesting deer. I mean, since I started hunting deer rifle, at least it's never always about getting a deer, but it's more about that weekend that you get to spend time with your friends and family and catch up with people that you haven't seen and spend all that time together. So it's not necessarily just about eating venison or harvesting big bucks. It's really, like he said, became a cultural thing and that there's more to it than that.
Danielle, do you go to deer camp? Do you have a deer camp?
I do not have a deer camp.
I don't have a deer camp either. And what's fascinating to me as a person who got into hunting later in life, I never had a deer camp. So I never had that experience.
We can make one.
Yeah, you can.
Because I got kicked out of mine, so.
I'm pretty much the only one in my family
that hunts.
I love
deer camps.
Really?
Yeah.
Ellie, you've had deer camp.
Certainly.
Has your deer camp consisted?
It's always a lot of food and staying up late and complaining about getting up super early and seeing who can stay out in the woods longest before you tap out and get cold. It's a competition, right? Who goes in first? If you go in first, you are the loser of the day. Sorry, you are.
All right. Well,
it's fantastic. But to Megan's point, it's never about who gets the biggest buck. I mean, of course, that is
a little bit there. That is right.
There's like it feels fantastic, right? Like there's a reason why we drive around with our tailgates down and show off the bucks, right?
Yes.
But it's really about food and family and friends and just enjoying nature and all of the blessings that we've been given. Really is.
Yeah. Speaking of that with the trucks, one thing I don't like when the DNR took away our back tags and us having to go register deer at the bars, you know, that really hurt a lot of the.
Then I will definitely
heritage.
Not tell you who the lead author of the bill to.
Oh, that a boy, Joel.
It's time to get into the 21st century, Paul.
I can't drive around anymore with my deer in the back of the truck, Joel.
What stops you from driving around with the deer in the back?
Because people try to steal it now instead of congratulate you.
Yes, people.
Come
carrying,
on, they cut the antlers off.
Oh, yeah. Right? Hacksaws along the bar.
It is more convenient. I will give you that.
We're about saving taxpayers money and having easier way to register the deer. Oh, boy, that's funny.
That is funny.
I love when a friend of mine complains about a law I lead authored.
I'm not complaining about it. It was just part of our heritage, you know?
Way to take away our heritage.
We have talked about that before, though, because there has, I forget who was on the show a while back, and they're like, yeah, bring back the back tags. Joel's like, No,
I can't catch the trespassers as easy, Joel.
Let me tell you something. One of the reasons.
That's why I bought a drone.
That's why you have a drone.
Right, exactly.
Well, let me tell you a reason that we eliminated back tags. And this is something a lot of people don't realize. Back tags, while you were hunting, 7 out of 10 back tags that were called in, the wrong number was called in.
So believe that.
It's a wardens spent a great deal of time going to the wrong houses to find the people who were not acting in accordance with the law because people were calling in the wrong back tags.
That is a true statement. That I do know.
So that was one of the reasons it was eliminated too. Now, I've been in the hot seat.
Yes.
But we're going to talk about the hot pot coming up. We got food with Chef Ellie Lawton. This is Raised in Wisco. Down the dial to Raised in Wisco, your show about the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. I'm Joel Clayfish. I get to host this rock and roll party every week, Saturdays at 11 o'clock on your civic media stations, 25 of them throughout Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota, alongside my host Danielle Fairman, who's been hosting things with me for the best part of 2 decades.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had some unbelievable experiences meeting people, hosting people, mm-hmm. interviewing people, doing TV and doing radio throughout the years, haven't we?
We have. And all the chefs that we get to meet, all the new food that gets presented in front
yes,
of me.
Yes, we had
all
Chef
the culinary
Jerry.
Corners.
Oh, yeah. So
and
many.
And Chef Lawton's absentia last week. However, I'm going to cut into the chase because I think fall, as we get into the colder weather, is sincerely the most fun time to eat. And it's the best time
absolutely.
To eat
yes.
the hot foods, the thick stick to your ribs kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And Paul House, who is an expert deer hunter, a phenomenal deer hunter, is our guest this week. And I'm kind of curious, you know, I hunt things to put them on the table. And the old saying, you can't boil the horns, but you are truly, Paul, an expert at tracking, preserving quality deer management for big horns, big
yes,
antlers.
We try.
But you still love to eat the stuff as well.
Oh, I shoot 10, 14 does a year, and that's all I eat. I eat it until it's gone, which I'm out.
So. Yeah, and I love
it's
it.
It's time.
Starting to drool a little bit, you know?
Well, we're going to get to Chef Lawton's recipe, but how do you eat your deer?
Pretty simple but amazing. I take a cast iron skillet, stick
ooh,
of
like
butter,
a mm-hmm.
little
okay.
bit of garlic,
yep.
and take the back straps and a nice chopped onion and put it in there, and 2 minutes on each side. And
well...
Paul is speaking my language.
Exactly how I love it.
The fame acclaimed John Whitmore, otherwise known as Woody, he says butter and onions. That's his favorite way
oh, yeah.
and everything. But if you have a little bit more of an expanded palate, you're curious about it, or you even enjoy neat foods, we like to bring you a way to make them simply and delicious. And we are fortunate enough to have a culinary master, a classically trained French chef who's the real deal when it comes to hunting, Ellie Lawton. Chef Lawton, what have you got for us this week? What are we cooking?
We are talking about Corsican ram.
Ooh, yes.
So the Corsican ram is, I think it originated in Texas, and it is a cross between a mouflon and a domestic sheep. Is that
okay.
correct, Joel? I think
that
you know.
Sounds about right, yes.
Yeah, so...
I know that there are a lot of hunting areas in Texas, and they were looking for a pretty species that would proliferate
yeah, they're beautiful.
Fairly quickly. So Corsican rams are offered in a lot of the places in Texas, and they're wild as well out there.
And fun fact, they are the most hunted exotic animal in North America.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That is
and
fascinating.
I had the opportunity to go and shoot a very old one that the gentleman told me would taste like garbage. So I got it ground up, and that is the inspiration for my recipe today.
Garbage?
Well, let's hear it.
Garbage ramp.
Nice. Ground up garbage.
So you guys ate it beforehand. So, I mean, what
it
did you think?
Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
So
unbelievable.
I did a Corsican ram sage gravy over a Wisconsin cranberry buttermilk biscuit.
Ooh,
Megan's Salad Bar is going to post the entire recipe for the gravy and the biscuit. I'll kind of run down it quickly if we have time. I think we do.
Run it. I want to hear it. Details.
Very, very, very easy. Love this recipe. You can swap out any meat for this. You can even do ground beef if you wanted to. You're seasoning it, so you'll get kind of that sausage gravy flavor. So brown your meat. Once it's brown, throw some diced onions over it, some garlic, some butter. Paul, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yes.
And then once the onions are cooked a little bit, you're going to sprinkle some flour over that meat, mix it in, let it cook for about 2 minutes, and then you're going to cover it with whole milk. And you're going to let that kind of reduce down, bubble, turn into that nice thick gravy. You're going to add sage to it, thyme, black pepper, some of your whatever your favorite seasonings are, some fennel. Those are my top favorites. And then you're going to bake some amazing biscuits. I put Wisconsin cranberries in mine. And then you're just going to eat it. It's fantastic. I mean, it's so easy. It doesn't get easier than that, people. And you can do it with
good too.
You can do it with your venison. You could do it with ground pheasant. That's fantastic. It's so wonderful. Put a poached egg over the top. Ugh. Add some microgreens because I'm in a microgreen mood.
And hungry. I don't know how that works all the time, but
I'm stuffed
and I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Because
it's a great recipe.
I never met a food I didn't like. I will tell you that.
This recipe, I just want to add, travels well. So make it ahead of time. Take it to deer camp. Throw it in a cast iron pan. Heat it up. Throw it over those biscuits or some toast. It is fantastic.
Yes. Now, I think people get a little bit afraid of gravies. I think they get a little afraid to make them because sauces and gravies are kind of in the same category. But
it is really hard to mess up a gravy.
Is it going to be, I was going to say, is this as easy as it sounds?
It's so easy. I mean, literally, I made the gravy in about 20 minutes. That's it. Start to finish.
Fantastic. Well, give that a try. And if you're not hooked up with us on Facebook, please make sure to do that. We are the Raised in Wisco Facebook page. Czar of the Facebook, Megan Salazar, will make sure that you have everything you need there. And we want to hear from you. We love the fact that we're gaining new listeners every week. We love that we share with you what is so fantastic about the great outdoors of Wisconsin. And what is so exciting to me is knowing that folks out there who may never have had experiences in Wisconsin in the outdoors or taken that step outside of the box, I'm telling you, this is the time to do it. This is the time of the year to do it because hunting season and fishing is fantastic. Fall fishing in Wisconsin. Camping is great. It's the time to get out the down blankets, eat a fantastic meal, have a great time. We love having you. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisconsin.